Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Arvanauts, and welcome all to day six of This Is Not D&D with Viewers. All right, I apologize in advance because I switched this multiple times and I don't know why it's not picking up. They have had... Twitch, get your stuff together. I've already changed the stream title multiple times and it does not seem to be taking, and I don't know why. This is not, to be clear, day six of D&D. This is day five of Shire Adventures. So just give me a second. Because this was not supposed to be... That's really frustrating. There we go. Great. Thanks. Okay. So I'm hoping that now it will actually pick up at the thing that was there. I think that's exclamation point, maybe L-O-T-R, possibly, but I don't 100% know. All right. Well, the rest of that is accurate. Okay. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. All right. Now I have corrected it, and I hope it picked up this time because it's really annoying. Okay. Anyway, now it's fixed. It should have been there already, and I don't know why it's not, and that's annoying. Anyway, my apologies, everybody. That's what this actually is. Day five. Oh, play L-O-T-R. Yes, there we go. Thank you, Runel. Day five of Lord of the Rings role-playing Shire Adventures, sponsored by Free League. And in just a minute, Chatty is going to pick up on this, and it will have that as well. But now it should be there. I don't know if people can refresh the title, if they can see if that's actually there in the new one. But it would be great if people could double-check for me. Is it actually now the right thing that it should have been? Because it's literally like the third time that I'm redoing this. So is it real? Is it revealing itself as day five of Shire Adventures, Expert Treasure Hunters, which is what this actually is, not D&D with Viewers? Right there. And Neighbors. Anyone? Can anyone tell me? Can you see this on your end? Because I want to make sure that, yes, it's there. Okay. All right, good. All right, well, that's good. So there it is. So it is not D&D with Viewers. It is Shire Adventures. And we are sponsored, as always, by Free League. And I want to mention that this is very important today because this game has officially released. And I'll talk about it. There it is. Now it's popped up there. Day five of Shire Adventures, Expert Treasure Hunters, sponsored by Free League, which is what it was to begin with. So it is my great pleasure to welcome all of you to this session, now that we got past that little technical snafu, and welcome you to the Shire Adventures crew. This is the first of two sessions we'll be doing this month. The second session will be taking place during ArvCon, although there will be one of our members who will be out, and we will explain what that is about in just a moment. But before we go any further, a couple of quick reminders about how to support us here on the channel. If you haven't done so already, please follow the channel. Please check out our YouTube at @ArvTube, where you will see past broadcasts of this and other streams. ArvCord is our Discord channel, where you can hang out with the Arvanauts in between streams. Twitter is @ArvTweets. Website is ArvanElleron.com. Financially, @ArvShop is the merchandise area. @ArvTreon is the Patreon. You can get cool stuff at both of those areas. You can also get cool stuff by subscribing to the channel, which Trent was nice enough to do just as the stream was starting. And on top of that, you can support us by supporting the publishing side of things, which Emily represents in part. Icarus is the Icarus graphic novel from Athas Art. Library is Tales and Tomes from the Forbidden Library. That's my 5e adventure and source book. That is not Athas Arts. That is Alligator Alley Entertainment. But Grayshade, which is what Emily was out in the West Coast for, which is a IBPA Benjamin Franklin Award Silver Medal winner. That book you can buy right now if you go to that link. You can also pre-order Heretic, which is coming out next year, and Renegade, the direct sequel, I should say, which is coming out in July of this year. So you can pre-order Renegade Blade, and then, as I say, Heretic is out next year. The tabletop role-playing game from Brandon O'Brien by Alligator Rally will be out later this year. You can pre-order at that link as well. And you can also get a copy of the audiobook by one Mr. Trent Sparks, which is now out and available and is amazing, and you should listen to it, and I'm just super excited about it at all times. Yeah, no, what? So you can get that as well. Last but certainly not least, exclamation point BLM, Black Lives Matter, important to affirm and assert the significance and importance of Black lives. Exclamation point help now, the World Health Organization page on suicide prevention. Important to reach out to others when you need help and reach out to others when they need help as well. And exclamation point Ukraine, UKRAINE, to help the fine people of Ukraine as they fight back against an illegal and illegitimate war with bravery and courage. Let me see. Let me just do one thing here to make sure about something. Button both sides. Okay, there we go. So there is that. And then, of course, last but certainly not least, even more last but certainly not least, is this event that I have been talking about quite a bit. And that, of course, is this, the Klein event. This is the kickoff event for ARVCon 2023. 2 weeks from this Thursday, 2 weeks from Thursday is going to be this event. So we are closing in now, chat, in 2 weeks from this Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern at the historic Klein Memorial Auditorium in Bridgeport, Connecticut. We will have a live Dungeons & Dragons event, and I will be announcing shortly the student who is going to be involved. In fact, I might even do that now that I think of it at the end of the stream today. I might do that on Friday, actually. I think I'll do that on Friday. The high school student who has been selected, there's going to be meeting up with the other players, CSC Cooney, Carlos Hernandez, Zach Clay, and Robert Austin James, otherwise known as Darkside Rob. He'll be meeting with those players in a Zoom call with me Thursday evening. And then his character art is just about done, and we've got the video work underway and all that stuff. So I'm going to be announcing corporate sponsors for this in the next couple of days, and I will be announcing the name of the high school student joining us as well at the end of the week, either Thursday or Friday. So that's all pretty exciting. It's $5 to get in the door for this event. It's $5 to watch the live stream if you want to do that instead. And I would love to see any or all of you there. I'm hoping to have a really good turnout. This is the first time this has ever been done in Southern Connecticut and certainly in Bridgeport. And so the Klein is excited. I'm excited. And all of this is to benefit the Klein Memorial Auditorium and most of all to benefit the Damon Runyon Cancer Research Foundation. And we have a lot of companies that have stepped up, a lot of sponsors that have stepped up. And I'm super excited about all of it. So please spread the word, let people know about it, and we will have more going on with that to announce very, very soon. Schedule-wise, we've got this going on today. I will be on again Friday night with more Jedi Survivor, and that's when I'll also try to announce this business with the high school student who is going to be joining us. But right now, it is my great pleasure to unmute myself here to introduce the players. I apologize if I have interrupted anyone because I can't hear them. Then I'm going to unmute them, and last but certainly not least, I'm going to head over to reveal the incredible crew, which you can see before you, of Shire Adventures. They are here. They are ready to go. They have just successfully completed a conspiracy most cracked. They managed to save a mule. They managed to not destroy an owl, and thus earning the enmity of all natural things. They managed to quell the firework. That's right.
Did we set it off?
Yeah, we'll see what the long-term ramifications of all of these things will be. And you recovered a family heirloom for Bilbo in the minds of everyone but one character who does not agree, perhaps, that's exactly what happened. But we will talk more about that as we go through. I do want to mention just very quickly that for our event, our ARVCon event, Amal, who I'm going to introduce first, will not be with us because Amal is going to be on this awesome retreat and thus will not be able to join us. But Amal will be with us, of course, in spirit. We will keep in mind all of, you know, her amazingness as she is off on this retreat. And so we will see what happens with Coriander in the event today. But having said all of that, I will start by asking Amal, speaking of you, how are you? How's life in the universe with everything? How's everything going with tweets from rhymes with Nicus Wickus, Nicodus Wickedus? Sickness? No. How's everything with you?
I want to say the full name. Can I just say the full name?
No. Go to it. Go to it. You know.
Sure. I literally just wrote a newsletter about this, and I'm still like, how do I explain this? If I if I were to read out my newsletter. So my book, which I can't gesture to because I've moved recently, like last week. What day is it? Today's Tuesday. So almost one full week ago, moved house in order to be I moved. I moved for reasons people move.
Never mind why I moved. I just moved.
Everything is much of a muchness. This is my new office. I love it very much, but nothing is in place, so I'm quite echoey. There are many boxes of books that need to be unpacked. Anyway, in amidst all of this stuff, friends started texting me, hey, have you seen this? And they would send me this like one tweet from an account that went by Bigolus Dickolus Wolfwood. It was a tweet that was going, wow, Time War, like read this book. And I was like, oh, that's nice. And then I looked at the numbers on this tweet and it was absurdly viral like 2 days ago. And I was like, oh, like, is this person a celebrity or like a popular TikToker or something? And no, it's just someone who's really into Trigun, an anime from the 90s that has recently been rebooted. And somehow through some like algorithmic weird alchemy magic, said this thing about Time War. Lots of other people chimed in. I'm gonna just drop the tweet into the chat to show you, because why not? And this tweet, this viral tweet, the thing you should know is that sort of a truism in publishing that tweets don't sell books, through most other social media, has a much higher conversion rate, basically, of attention on social media to actually people buying a book. Twitter's is very low. But in this case, this one tweet somehow has propelled the book to number 21 in Amazon. Like, not in like time travel books or science fiction romance, but like in books. Like, if you go to the top 40 books on Amazon, Time War is at number 21 and has been somewhere between the 40s and 21 for the last couple of days. So that the people at Simon & Schuster who published the book had to get in touch to be like, what is going on? What happened? Why is your book selling so weirdly?
Hey, Amal, did you want to put that in Twitch chat? Because you put it in Zoom chat. I don't know if you want to put it in.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
I meant to put it in the Twitch chat. Here we go. Here it is. Ba-boing.
There it is.
And my mentions have been wild. I wrote a newsletter attempting to explain what happened and what is still happening, TBH.
7.3 million views. Well,
yeah, it sure is the thing. And anyway, it's great. So I'm tremendously grateful to Bigolus Dickolus for this. If, you know,
it's a great book, so it makes it easier. If it was a crappy book, that would be one other thing. But like, it's a great book, which is why I teach it. I wouldn't be teaching it if it wasn't.
Thank you. I mean, listen, it sure has made me want to get into Trigun. Like, sure.
I think you've reached the high point, honestly. I don't think there's nowhere to go down.
The main character's name is Vash the Stampede. He's got this amazing... Never mind. Just go.
No, exactly. I have learned this in the last couple of days. Are you a fan of Trigun?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounded very convincing.
No.
Trigun.
Don't worry about it.
Like just like out of frame, you can see like his Vash body pillow.
Yeah.
Sitting on his bed.
I'm so thrilled and so like just overjoyed by this development. Every bit of it so far has been wild. Max was on a plane while all this was happening, and I was literally like tweeting to our agent with like hashtag has Max landed yet, and anyways, it was just it's been wild. It's been very wild, and it continues to be wild. And who knows what will come of this. This is never, nothing like this has ever happened to me before. I'm very agog and off. So
listen,
anyway,
if you can tell your friend Biggest Dickless, you know, to happen to just, you know, drop information about, like, if you like religious assassins, you know, like, I mean, that are silver medal winners, and you know, just let them know. Just yeah. let it, just throw it that way.
Sure. It's just, I do wish this for all of us. One thing I do want to say is that what it has shown to me is that, like, if any of you out there feel like your tweets about the things that you love are, like, falling on deaf ears or are just, you know, not having the effect that you want them to have, just keep doing it. Just keep doing it anyway, because they're at some point they will accrete into something bigger than the sum of their parts. And whether you have a Bigless Dickless or some other Scrimblow Bimblow lovable Scrunko to help you do it, you know, I got him! Got Trin! All of this never happens! I love it! Oh, it's good. Anyway.
Put Mel in chat, which one of our player characters is your personal Blorbo.
Yes.
it's part of the snowball, right?
Exactly. Just like, if there is something to take from this, any actionable thing to take, I don't know how to make lightning strike, but I do know that if you just keep talking about the things that you love for long enough, you know, you give them a chance for this to happen. Because it wasn't just Bigless Dickless. It was the fact that, like, I'm going to do that.
It's never just Bigless Dickless. It's never just.
it's just like that was just the lightning rod for, like, a lot of, like, part of what I think made this happen is that people replied to it saying that they loved the book and just kind of kept that going. And it was lovely. So anyways, I'm tremendously grateful to everyone over the last 4 years of this book's life cycle who has contributed to this wacky, baffling moment. Anyway, I'm playing a character called Coriander Took, who is a hobbit in her tweens, and who has very flexible ideas about ownership.
Yes, and is in a lot of trouble. And is just
trouble.
Just yeah, I.
What has Coriander ever done to get into trouble?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You little baby.
Well, actually.
Like montage, and then it's just like, you know, half hour of like stealing pies and like anyway. It is a pleasure to have Amel with us, and I do genuinely mean that. I mean, it doesn't sound like it needs any more help from me, but This Is How You Lose the Time War is a really, really wonderfully done book, so you should all check that out. And it's great, and I'm glad that has gone viral. It's just amazing that, you know, if you go take a look at some of what Emily's been tweeting about what some of Publishers Weekly's views on things are regarding crowdfunding stuff. That's been a thing too. Anyway, I will not bring the crowd down, but it's a weird industry that we're all in, a very weird, weird industry that not all of us, but many of us are. Anyway, it's always a pleasure to have Amal with us. I'm excited to hear what Coriander gets up to today. It is also a pleasure to have Brad with us, who is another member of this strange group organization known as the publishing world. Brad, how's life with you? Have you found yet? Have you found your biggest ridiculous? And I just can't say that. And actually, just and, you know, so I'm just gonna have to say, like, where will you find your viral tweet? Do you need to go find another anime and like find someone to love? You know, if you haven't read Shattered Sands, you need to read this now. I'll grab you by the throat and maybe you can read it. That's what that tweet basically said. Have you found someone like that? And how's life in the universe with you? And who are you playing today?
Isn't the Bigless Dickless a Mel Brooks character from
that's Biggest Dickus?
Biggest Dickus, yeah.
No, that's from Holy Grail.
Wait, yeah, no,
no,
sorry.
It's not from Holy Grail. From Life of Brian.
Oh, Life of Brian. Sorry, it's from Life of Brian. That's true. It's from Life of Brian.
Still Biggest Dickus, not Bigless Dickus.
It is Biggest Dickus. Yes. You have a problem with my friend Biggest Dickus? Yeah, it's a very funny sequence from my podcast. Anyway, Brad, how are you? How's life in the universe with you and stuff?
I am doing well. I'm in this weird in between place between projects. I've turned in Big Fat Book number one in the new Epic Fantasy series. I'm like sort of working on this novella. I like to do novellas between books to kind of keep the story alive and have things to talk about between books and stuff because they take a while to come out. But I'm also trying to just relax a little bit because I don't do that very often, but
because you just don't.
Yeah, but you know, every time I try, and you know, I have done a little bit. I've just kind of cut down on the number of hours that I'm spending per day on writing for a little bit until I can kind of just get this novella out and start chipping away at the next book, the next outline anyway for it, not writing it yet. But it's funny how, I don't know if everybody's the same way in this you know, the gig economy. I just always have this pressure to be writing. And yeah. Then anytime I feel like I know I deserve a break. There are times when you have to step back from your work and just enjoy life a little bit and relax, because that fuels your creativity and keeps you going. But it's so hard to do. It does take a while to get into that mode of thinking. So,
and you have had, you know, a kind of a medical thing that was kind of a fairly significant not that long ago, Brad, you know.
Yeah,
so maybe some rest is in the offing.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah, I mean, that, you know, having a stroke and stuff resets your priorities a bit. And so anyway, that's where I am. It's actually a good place to be. I'm not under any great pressure right now, just waiting for copy edits on the new book and shipping random stuff in the meantime. And in the meantime, doing things like this, playing games. And I actually have a local gaming group too. We do board games and some D&D as well. But today I'm playing Calorin, Cal Fallowhide, a budding map maker. Who is looking forward, well, who is proud of having brought back this map yeah. that Bilbo sent us off to find, and is super excited to go off on a new adventure to find treasure.
That's right, which has all this sort of family connected history with some of the halflings involved here, as we will talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, right.
Always a pleasure to have Brad with us, and also a pleasure to have with us the amazing Tari Toons, who is going to be involved on multiple fronts, actually. Already is involved with multiple fronts, but more than that with this channel, because of certain things that are going to be going onto our merchandise area with some Shire adventure characters that she may have had a minor hand in doing, like this entire overlay and all the character. Mm-hmm. I continue. Can I just say, by the way, Tari, that every time I see the splash screen for this, it makes me happy. Like, I love this Hobbit cover anyway, you know, for the original that you pulled this from, the idea from. And so I just love it. It's awesome. We are joined by the amazing Tari Toons. And Tari is going to be joining us again later this month too, for some more Midnight Rogue fighting fantasy illustration action. But today we got some Tolkien going on. So how are you,
Midnight
Tari? How's
Rouge,
life in the universe
like
with you? That Midnight Rouge. That's right. Yeah. Midnight Rouge. Now that we have an actual, that was the one before we learned how to pick locks. Hey-o. Anyway, how's life in the universe with you? Who are you playing today?
Well, I'm doing fine. Doing art stuffs. I've like started a new project where I'm like making pennants for like various civic coats of arms. This would be the town of Siegburg, from my home region.
Wow.
Just have like a whole stack of these unpainted, different colored little what are these called? Pennants?
Pennants. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to talk to you about seeing if I can make a coat of arms for
what?
Well, either for where I live or my family already has a coat of arms. The Wilson clan was very well known for being constantly betrayed and ambushed, but we survived. We never figured
Incorrect.
Out how to understand
our
friends.
Your clan chief has a coat of arms. Your family does not have a coat of arms. I'm pretty sure about that.
Fine, my clan chief.
Scotland has some incredibly strict rules about inheritance.
It's
like,
true. But I was part of the Gun clan. The Wilson clan is part of the Gun clan. So like I say, we were constantly betrayed and ambushed.
That makes so much sense.
So it absolutely does. So I'll have to talk to you about that. Anyway, when
also,
not
the Wilson arms are kind of boring.
Well, thanks.
Ooh.
Wow, see, did I not just say I'm constantly betrayed? Constantly betrayed by people I thought were friends, and once again, proving.
Listen, I will never lose. Like, I will never waste breath on dunking on British heraldry. Okay, it's like there's like just so much. No, Britain. British heraldry. I mean, Scotland. Okay, but like. For the most part, but, you know. Hi, I'm Tari Toons. I like heraldry. so, yeah. No, we absolutely can do that. and yeah, talk about the legalities about using different arms.
Right.
Because Scotland doesn't do family arms. Scotland has only individuals' arms. When I'm not talking my ass off about heraldry, which totally interesting to everybody listening, I'm sure. I'm playing like D&D stuff here, and in this case, I would be playing the grandma of a certain Koriander Took, and that would be Granny. I was about to say Laura. No, Laura is another character in that family. No, Granny Lavender, Hope Singer. Laura Hope Singer was granddaughter, great granddaughter. Through, I don't know, I need to look up the family tree from another game that we did here. But yes, and she is a scholar and an apothecary, a healer, a herbalist, what is the word? Apothecary.
An apothecary, yeah.
Apothecary. English pronunciation never makes sense. that's Granny. And she also likes to throw pebbles at birds.
That's true. Is anti-owl, apparently. Which is, you know, like...
Listen. No, she doesn't discriminate. She is willing to throw pebbles
just hates
at
all
just
birds.
Any bird.
I'll keep that in mind. Wait till we get to section 3. The eagles are coming, and we'll see how that goes. I'm just kidding. Anyway, always
a
pleasure.
They're coming into range, you mean, huh?
Exactly. always a pleasure to have Tari with us. And last but certainly least, a pleasure to have Tren Sparks with us, the aforementioned narrator of the Grey Shade audiobook that I was just singing the praises of because it is amazing. I was listening to more of it yesterday. Tren's really good at that stuff. But when not being amazing at that sort of stuff, Tren, how's life with you otherwise? And who are you playing in today's game?
Well, I got a thing.
Okay.
In the mail. That, well,
I recognize it.
This,
already.
Which came with this in the mail.
Yep.
And it's got a kukri on one side.
I wonder who did this design.
On the other.
It's really good, right, Trent? I wonder who made this.
Oh, they did it in color. I didn't know they were going to do that.
Yeah. Mine's number 4. What's yours?
Mine is 42, because, of course. I wanted my coin to be the answer to life. So.
The answer.
Yep. Yeah. But it has justice and balance on one side, and on the other side, it has the numbering. There's the number 42 that we got. And this design, originally done, of course, by Tari, is the one who did the art that you see there. So, and Emily, of course, in chat was the person who spearheaded the design of this and did an amazing job. And so, yeah. And it's got. I forget who it was, Emily, that you said told me this, but it has real heft to it, you know, which I feel like is this thing has got some heft.
Oh, it was Gregory with the coin in the book room.
In the book room. Heft.
Sorry, that was a little callback joke to a green room conversation.
Yes.
to address, you know, Amal's thing, my tweet thing went viral this morning. Because there was a thread that was like, you know, post 2 pictures of an actor who demonstrates their range as performers. And so one of the ones that, I mean, I put a lot of them up there, but, one of the ones that I put up, and now I've forgotten who it was, but, because I posted a lot of them, but Duncan Jones, who is the guy who made the movie Mute and the movie Moon and the Warcraft movie, he and I both love the Fully Charged show, and so he follows me on Twitter. And one of the ones that he was like, "Ling, like," and as soon as he liked it, it just exploded. So I'm like, "Oh my God, what's going on?" It just came all these notifications. I'm like, "Oh, it's okay, it's that. Okay, fine." And I just kind of pushed that window off to the side. I'm like, "I will address that later." And
so, you know, Trent, we were talking about guest stars since he follows you on Twitter and all that, and since you guys are best
you,
buds,
I told
I'm telling
we
you
should get Duncan Jones.
Well, I'm telling you. I'm telling, can you do that?
You cannot tell me after I've already told you.
Fine, I have accepted what you have told, and now I
You're
respond
to you.
You're
just regurgitating the verb like you said in Twitch chat.
All right, we will talk. We will talk afterwards. I'm making a note to myself while you tell us who you're playing, sir.
Uh-huh, right. Yes, yeah, so I'm playing a brand new character. No, I'm thinking of a brand new character though. Anyway, but the one I'm playing right now is a man of Bree named Titch Apothecary. No. English pronunciations. His name is Titch Applebaum, and he is a not being paid attention to by the resident German. That's fine. It's okay. It's not like I'm making a joke, calling on her, whatever. All right. Okay. So, yeah, he's a gate captain, a guard from the village of Bree, and he is very much a staunch believer in law and order and not having wibbly wobbly interpretations of what is crime and what isn't. And so, yeah, we'll see. But he's looking for a bear, and he's getting more and more frustrated. He's rapidly approaching the point of, I believe the kids these days call it, his give a fuck is broken, or it's very close. It's very close.
Especially when he was told last time that the bear thing probably was the result of a prank, to which his general reaction was like, I don't believe this. That dude is part of this mix. So it is going to be fun to see how things are handled with Titch Applebaum. Chat, let us talk a little bit about, and I'm not going to summarize all of it, but I will say that in our last session a Conspiracy Most Cracked, let me just fire up our music here.
Cracked.
There we go.
Like pepper.
A conspiracy. Well, cracked like the roof of the house when you broke into it. this place. Wait a second. I somehow have two.
It's okay. Amal got it.
Bits of music. Wait a second here.
The conspiracy is this existence of a bear.
Oh.
In the fellowship phase, I want to look into conspiracy theories and find out how to break people of the belief system that they've fallen into.
They were right. Exactly. I was told by Bear News that there is definitely a bear, and they always tell the truth.
We're going to have an intervention with a trans character.
Oh, my goodness.
I've just been watching See Bear and Be See. Damn it. See and Bear See. That's what I was trying to get to come out of my mouth. This is why I narrate audiobooks, because I'd say what other people have written, and I don't speak for myself.
In this session, they were sent by Bilbo to track down this family heirloom, which was this map that had belonged allegedly to his grandfather, and which was not being handed over by the director of the Matham House over there in the West Farthing. And so the party, after dealing with some obstacles like crossing the river right near their home, and then like moving forward to dealing with, you know, going down the road and dealing with, you know, an owl in a barn and all the other previously mentioned stuff, did manage to get into the Matham House and did manage to get the map. It was a near thing. Coriander, while trying to get this, was trying not to wake up the fearsome, I mean the beast-like, is it here? Nope, it's not that one. I think I may have deleted that part of it, but this fierce beast that was just, you know, it was dangerous at all levels. So they managed to, Coriander managed to avoid waking up that beast initially. But then there was a problem because the bounders had come and it basically said, what the heck are you all doing outside of this place? Titch was in his guarding spot where he had been told to stay. And Cal and Granny Lavender were outside, were caught by these bounders, and the bounders basically were about to march them off. And Coriander improvised and said, I've got to figure out what I can do, and decided that it was time to pull out the pepper. Used the pepper, which went off like a cloud inside this as I carefully constructed it, knowing that she would do this. I didn't know. It was just a happy accident. Like, big is ridiculous. I don't often know when my things are going to work the way I intend them to. In this three-sided underside of a desk, ended up causing a firework to go around and do something like the equivalent of yip, 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 I believe is what it was. Went running out of the house, throwing everyone off, woke the entire town up. The entire town was aware. And in the confusion, Coriander and company managed to escape, except for Titch, who left later on after having heard that possibly the bear that he had come seeking was perhaps a scam. But Titch does not believe it. and is like, listen, still the process of looking for a bear, and headed back home to Bag End, where Bilbo excitedly looked at the map. He confirmed through Cal that this was indeed the right map. In fact, he talked to Cal a little bit about the makeup of the map, the design of the map, the look of the map, et cetera, and was very excited, so excited that he then talked to the party about what was happening next. And this is a good moment for me to show off to all of you in chat the Lord of the Rings role-playing Shire Adventures book. I showed this off before, but this game is officially available today, chat. So you can go do this. Free League sponsors us. So please do that. It is !play, L-O-T-R. We'll give you a link to where you can pre-order this. It really is a fun system. And I should mention, for those of you familiar with the old Cubicle 7 system, you might be saying to yourself, well, since we just finished an adventure, shouldn't we be doing a fellowship phase? But not quite. Because in this adventure, in this rule set, fellowship phases are slightly different. The fellowship phase will usually take place between seasons, and it is still spring, and so as a result, we do not have a fellowship phase yet, although we will after this adventure to come. I will talk at the time about what things you can do during fellowship phases. However, once per year, it is Yule, after the winter season. And during that time, there is a single prolonged fellowship phase. It means several things: that player heroes have aged 1 year. It also means that player heroes can sometimes get bonus experience, or at other times can heal scars, basically allows them to remove shadow scars and things like that, which they might not be able to do at other times of the year. You might say to yourself, well, what exactly is a shadow scar? I'm glad you asked. When you get shadow points, and they have not yet been in a position to get shadow points yet, when they actually get a shadow point, these shadows are, when they get to a certain level and basically exceed their wisdom score, it means that they have the chance they will become miserable, and they may have the chance to actually lose control of themselves basically at certain points. And when that happens, they will end up removing their current shadow and replace it with a single shadow scar. It is a permanent shadow point, but it can be removed only during a Yule fellowship phase. That's the only time you can actually remove shadow scars. So there's some unique aspects is what I'm saying about the fellowship stuff, and we'll come back to that after we finish with expert treasure hunters, but I did want to mention that as a somewhat new tweak on the old system. So while the party was here, after having accomplished things, it's fair to say, I would think, and Bilbo has not been, it has not been long, maybe only a week or so, since the party has successfully regained the map. And there has been quite a bit of news about this that's gone everywhere about the Shire, the incident at the Matham House. Some people have called it the Matham House Affair. Some people have called it the Fall of Firework. There's all these dramatic stories that have come as a result of it. And basically, the belief is that some group, and some people say it's a group of men, some people say there's been talk about how there were these mysterious, eagle creatures that could shape, change shape into hobbits, jump into a house, then come out of the house again. Some people talked about the ability to distract. There's been talk about the men of Bree and whether there are some guards of Bree that may be involved in this conspiracy. It's been a lot that's been going on. The Shire has been anxious for news. But Bilbo seems to be mostly immune to all of this, having been staring at poring over this map with some detail. And so, in the year 1360, still the spring of the year 1360, about a week later, you have been staying here at Bag End. Now, I should say that at least for a day or so, while staying at Bag End, there has been some things that have happened as a result. One is that Bilbo has been largely locked up in his study for at least a day. There's always plenty of food. There's always been plenty of food and water, and you've been able to come and go as you please. I imagine the Titch, you might even have had the opportunity, Titch, if you wished, to go back to Bree and come back out to the Shire, because that's why the week, you know, type of thing. I could imagine that might be an opportunity for you. Cal, there's plenty of not only maps there, but also other aspects that you could explore, because you may remember that Bilbo had mentioned something about Bull Roarer Took and his weapon, which might be of some interest, let us say, because obviously Bull Roarer is a famous historical figure in Hobbit lore. Granny, I will also mention that there have been a couple of occasions where you have found several mysterious, I'm not going to pronounce this properly, it's not sachet, right, when it's a small little bag of herbs. It's like S-A-C.
Yes, it is.
Is it sachet still? Not sachet. So yeah. Sachet of herbs. And some special herbs that you are not familiar with, but they do seem to make a particularly potent tea, Granny, although you haven't necessarily had the chance to try it out on anybody else yet, but you've had the opportunity, if you wish, to experiment with certain kinds of tea and herb combinations that you might not have been able to do before, thanks to this new. In fact, it doesn't even look, from what you can tell yourself as someone who's done work in this, it doesn't look like it comes from around the Shire, even perhaps beyond it into the Lone Lands. This looks like from somewhere very far away. Could it be even east, from east of the Misty Mountains, perhaps, that this might be available?
So, like, I have to assume that, like, the Shire does, like, trading a lot with, like, other regions, right?
Yes. Let me back up a little bit. Yes and no. Certainly with local regions, there's certainly a lot of stuff going back and forth between here and Bree, and there are occasional items which get filtered through some of the closer villages and towns that end up there. But one of the reasons that Bilbo is considered so odd is the fact that he brought back so much stuff from, you know, middle of or east of the Misty Mountains. So I wouldn't say that it's like a big trade area, but there's some.
Okay, so yeah, then in that case, yeah, probably would not have had the opportunity to get her hands on these herbs. But though, like you said, we were staying the week at Beckend. Like,
not the whole week, just for a couple of days.
Granny would have definitely gone home for the night. Like,
yeah,
we come back.
I assumed as much. Yeah, no, I assume. Okay. This is about a week later. Yes, and I'll come to Coriander in just a minute, but go ahead. You were going to ask her.
Yeah, no, in that case, yeah, absolutely. She would have, like, snatched some of that while Bilbo wasn't watching.
Yeah, no, it seemed to be left for you at your place, actually.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah, and also, like, you know, take a little snack for the road every day, because, of course, Bilbo probably has, like, some fancier foodstuffs in his pantry than the average person here has.
Probably fair to say. It's more that, yeah, Bilbo just has a lot of food than more than the average person. His pantry, which has expanded since his return from the Lonely Mountain, is, I mean, three times the size of a normal hobbit's pantry. And
well,
a normal,
like,
hobbit's pantry.
Always worried about, like, a band of dwarves
just showing up. You never know when there's just a party. That's right.
Yes.
So there's that going on. And then, Coriander, over the last day or so, I would say, you've been hearing this sort of, you know, you're generally quite good at being able to put your parents off about different things. But in the last day or so, you've heard rumors that your parents, who you haven't seen for the last day or so, have been actively looking for you. Another way of putting this is they've said, tell Coriander to come home at once, and language like this that you generally know is, that's language that means don't just stay, you know, just like let things calm down a little bit. You're with Granny, you're with family, it's all good, you know. But so you haven't been home for a day or so, just, you know, Bilbo is keeping you, right? Like, you've got a place to stay, and it's all very safe. And so,
I think,
yeah.
Coriander has snuck notes into her family's home, just saying, "Hi, we're back. I've just got some things to take care of. See you soon." Smiley face. But. I can imagine Coriander's parents have, like, felt a current of air in the house sometimes, like walking into a room and feeling like someone has recently left it.
And you signed the note, Bigolus Dickolus.
This note has gone viral. There's notes at every Shire home.
It's not a bad hobbit name.
That, yeah, yeah, yeah. They retweet it by sending birds to each other. And
Biggles. Anyway, yeah. So, but yeah, she, I think she's hanging out at Bag End, but periodically a certain footfall near the door will make her vanish into a broom closet, looking for a broom, or not.
Well, there's so many to choose from. It could take you a while.
It's true. Yeah.
It just came to my mind, and all of a sudden I'm like, I better not say anything. That's
and
awful.
Yet you did.
Oh, but no, not to them. Not to them.
Now they're wondering what
we're
talking
about. Why should our viewers get the benefit of your wit and charm?
I wouldn't say that was wit or charm. I would say that's probably Trent rubbing off on me. So I think it's probably what it is. exactly. While Trent is staggered by that, I'm going to move swiftly on to talk about what happens here with as we talk about what happens at the end of this little moment with Bilbo in his study. It is the afternoon of the second day since you've been invited. So for a full day, you were invited, showed up. He wasn't there. He's in his study. There was all this food there. Woke up the next morning. Dishes have been cleared. Breakfast was there. Eggs Benedict, the whole bit, like everything you want. It's right. But nothing from him until the afternoon. Yes, Granny.
Granny's husband and their dog would have probably tagged along on one of these days.
Okay.
Maybe multiple of them too, you know.
Their dog loves Eggs Benedict.
Yes, probably. I've got to write that down, actually.
It is quite good. Yeah, Eggs Benedict. No, it's quite good. As you're sort of there, I would imagine even maybe eating, eating second lunch, so to speak. Popping out of his study like a cuckoo from a clock, Bilbo rushes, and that, of course, for chat who's curious, that would be this Bilbo right there. Bilbo right there. Bilbo rushes into the parlor where you're all relaxing after a fine second breakfast. Oh, my fault. It was second breakfast. Map still clutched in his hand. Oh, my wonderful friends. Oh, my wonderful friends. You won't believe what I found. Cal, we were right. We were right the whole time. I knew it. I knew that we just needed this information, and now we've found it. You won't believe what I've found on the old Took's map. And he opens up the map, and of course you were all now very familiar with this map, having taken some considerable pains to retrieve it. But you now notice, and for a moment, there's a moment, I would say, Cal, of horror, where it looks like he's written all over it. And then you realize that that's not the case, but that he's got this very thin kind of almost tracing paper on top of it. And he's circled some areas, and like there's all these crazy scribbles and things like that with exclamation points and sort of little details and little apparently questions to himself, like, could it be? And perhaps here, and even Lobelia isn't this bad, and little, you know, lines like that that you see all the way down. And he says, I believe I know where the club of Bandabrus Took is located. He sort of waits for a moment for the air to sort of, you know, and then he says, well,
the club?
The club?
They gather and they have food and parties?
No, my dear girl. No. This is a club. A club that's used for, well, to knock some sense into people if need be. Or in this case, one of your ancient ancestors, and not all that ancient, mind you. Surely your parents have told you, or at least your granny. And he looks at you, Granny, with this, like, obviously you told her about. Bull Roarer Took. Bull Roarer? He waits expectantly.
Have Granny told Coriander about Bull Roarer Took?
Yeah, probably.
Two.
Oh, was he the one who invented golf?
That's right. Knocking the head of a goblin clean off where it went down a hole, and golf was invented. That's right. And he's extraordinary. He lived an incredibly long life, and he was, well, he was really everything an adventuring hobbit should want to be. And I've found what we need. Well, at least the old Took knew where he was located. Well, okay, or rather, he thought he did. Well, maybe the old Took wasn't sure. I don't know. Anyway, And he sort of shakes his head. You almost get the impression like he's jostling things around in there to get them all straight. And he's like, well, never you mind. I might need to do a bit more research, but I was hoping for, nay, counting on your help once again. Now, I have a question here, which is Titch. Has Titch returned at this point? Like, where I was going to ask you, where are you?
I was just going to say, you know, the scene in, I think, both Lord of the Rings and in The Hobbit when Gandalf shows up and uses his staff to bang on the door.
Yeah.
And I imagine that using that staff, it's probably, you know, boom, boom.
Right,
it's
right.
Probably more than just, basically that's what Titch does with the hilt of his spear. He's just banging on the door.
Okay. You know? And he's like, Coriander, would you be a dear please and get that for me? I'll wait.
Goes to the door.
Okay. So
opens the door. Titch!
There is a very scowly Titch standing.
Oh, Titch, it's so lovely to see you. And she flings herself around Titch's waist and gives him a giant hug. And then after giving him a giant hug, before he can react in any way that is not accepting of this, she will retract and say, Aaron, look, it's Titch! Titch came back!
Oh, wonderful, wonderful! I'm so happy to have the hero of Bree! Oh, please come back in!
Cal, meanwhile, is like poring over the map as this stuff is going on. He's just kind of like looking at everything, trying to absorb it.
Yeah, and Cal, there's you notice that there are a number of arrows pointing to one spot with an X and then multiple circles and then several other arrows that lead up to the same place.
I wonder what he could be focusing on.
Yeah, he seems to be really concentrating on this area. You also note, Cal, with some like measure of terror, I'm going to jump out of game for 1 second to make this point. So all of you know the song in real life, Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. So you will know, it's very vaguely famous. So obviously, you know, one of the big things about that is this for real life? Or they have multiple harmonies, right? And the way they did was they layered the harmonies on top of each other. Well, this song is being recorded in the time of analog tape, not digital. So as they're recording it, they were literally recording over and over the tape to get this effect. And at one point, the sound engineer felt like there was something sounded weird, and he pulled it open and he pulled over the tape, just sort of like, not pulled it, but like carefully unwound this one part to show that he could see through the tape. It was so thin from having been re-recorded. He's like, ah! And they immediately like put it and like, you know, shunted it off to another tape. It was that close because it would have broken and then we would have lost all this incredible work of Bohemian Rhapsody. Why am I telling this story? Because Cal, as you're looking at this, there's a moment where you see what looks like almost a little tear because he's put so many arrows on the tracing paper that it almost looks like it almost went through to the map. You don't think it did, but you can see like the bubbling of the tracing paper, basically like a little more and he would have scraped right into the map itself.
Yeah.
I don't know if that matters to you, but I'm just letting you know that you see it
better. Do I, having been here for a few days, I've stayed here for the most part, do I know if there are more of these pieces of paper?
Yes, you probably would be able to find more, especially on his desk. He uses these quite a bit.
Okay. I'm going to just relay that to Bilbo and say, we probably shouldn't run this particular one anymore. Let me just fetch another and I'll make a copy of this one and we'll use that one from this point forward. Is that okay?
Certainly, like, if you need to make a copy. Yeah, he seems like, okay, that's fine. I like that you're doing it already while he's like, you're
like
already
a cloud.
Dust cloud.
Yeah, so I go fetch another and I set to taking that one, putting a new one on it and making a new one of it.
Mm-hmm. And yes, it is like a season 2 analog D&D character sheet. Actually, that's very right, Arudinel. I know exactly that feel.
The eraser has almost rubbed all the way through the...
Yeah. Some of my old Fighting Fantasy game books were like that too. Yep. Okay, so that's the case with that. So Titch, as you are bundled into the room, you can now respond and say whatever you like, but Coriander is there with you.
Yeah, Titch looks very, very cross. He is not happy, and when he gets in and he is disheveled, like he's been on the road. You know, to use a phrase that would probably never be used in association with anything like this, there and back again, just the whole time.
A man of Bree's journey, a man of Bree's holiday.
And he just is just staring daggers at Bilbo. And he's like, you!
Yes, me.
That you did it, didn't you? You started these rumors that have now gotten me all wrapped up in apparently just bad-mouthing the guards of the men of Bree. This all came from your little heist.
What heist? Oh, what my heist? And he seems like utterly like dumbstruck. Like, heist? What did I do? I don't believe I've heisted anything. Have I? He looks at Granny. Have I heisted anything that you know?
Well, that was the whole thing with the dragon.
Well, yes, all right. Guilty as charged. Perhaps I am responsible for that. Are you telling me that the people of Dale have finally come to charge me for the crime of stealing the cup
Bree,
from the dragon?
Not
I'll return
Dale.
It. What? Bree? Well, Bree didn't have any treasure in the horn. The dragon never went to the west of the Misty Mountains.
Maybe they have their own dragon.
No. Oh no! This is where Titch would
just escalates.
No, this is where Titch would say, "No, that wasn't a real dragon. That was a guy who got drunk, and he was." No, wait. He was like, "Oh, never mind that." And, but no, he's not going to say that.
Brianna says, "Perhaps Titch meant to say hoist. Have you hoisted anything recently?"
Oh well, I have sometimes. In the morning, I usually hoist something over my head. It's a good exercise. Perhaps that's what you mean?
And I imagine this is probably where Cal is coming back in and just with a very grimy, grungy finger. What's my character? Titch is just about to jam it down on the map. And like, seeing this, I can just picture Cal going, no! Boom! Like, hits the table. This! That map right there.
Well, what about the map? That's...
You sent these people, and by extension, me, to take it from someone else's property.
But it was not their property. It would belong to my family.
It wasn't their property. Also, they weren't taking good care of it. It was full to Titch. You didn't see it.
They were in the middle of renovations. Maybe some... Look. I am
Did you get upset? Why are you so upset? Are you all right? Would you like to sit down? Would you like a cup of tea?
No. I am maybe eat some tea.
So Granny, I assume is like, here gives him the tea. Please tell me you give him some tea that's like...
No, Granny's just sitting
massive
there like...
mood calming tea, like, you know. Like,
oh, yeah. She has no idea what it does. She's like, here, have this.
I'm so... Oh.
With a plate of bear biscuits next
stuff.
To it.
No, actually, yeah. Like, yeah, no, that's some a very good call. I forgot about that already. Yeah, no, Granny. Oh, this tea is like, it's cold already. Let me go fetch some new one. And like, she stomps off in the direction of the kitchen with her little dog following her.
Okay.
I come from a very long line of people who maintain and uphold the law. That's what I do. That's what I am. I don't break into people's houses solely on the word of one person to take something that I do not have permission to take from the current home.
But Ted, you didn't do that.
Right, you were not there.
You didn't do any of that.
But because of you pointing at Bilbo, sending these people the rumors that are flying around Hobbiton have now leaked back to Bree,
nope.
And I'm getting in trouble for them.
Oh, now that's terrible. That's terrible news. No, wait just a moment. And there's a knock on the door. He comes over and opens it to say, first of all, look at these wonderful people raiding from Explore the Beyond. Welcome, welcome. And he waves out to all of them. Thank you for joining
us
here.
I'm really glad it was that. I thought you were going to say it was my cat. I'm like, oh, no.
Church, you know. Thank you for the raid so much. And welcome to the adventure. You are currently watching Bilbo Baggins try to talk down an extremely angry man of Bree Guard, as we will discuss more stories as we go. Thank you so much for the raid, Explore the Beyond. That's our second raid today. Welcome. So Bilbo, carefully leaving the door just open a crack so the raiders can hear this sound, then comes back into the room and says, now, look, I'm really sorry. Titch, it appears there's been a misunderstanding and well, I feel incredibly guilty about it, frankly. I if I had any realization that in any way, well,
I know that humans are sensitive creatures, and I should have realized that your understanding of morality would be more carefully defined, and, well, that they're more, well, I learned once about creatures that they were softer in the underbelly. It seems to me that emotionally, I appear to have accidentally poked you in your moral center. And I am most sorry about that. It is not what I intended at all. I can tell you several things. First of all, I have some small name and reputation, and I actually, well, I think you must have crossed paths, but I have already sent messengers to Bree to tell your captain of the spectacular work that you've done. Indeed, from what I have been told by your companions here, were it not for you, they may have been completely lost. It was your bravery, your moral standing that kept them as they were. I understand that you saved an innocent animal from a loss of sleep. And were it not for you, that would have been worse. I understand that you prevented, in part, an owl from being abused by certain other relatives of mine. His eyes kind of flicker over
and,
towards Granny.
With that cue, Granny comes back into the room with a single cup of tea.
And brings it over. Is that, yeah, by the like way, puts, what kind of tea is this, Lavender? Like, is
no,
it,
no, this is like made from the strange exotic herbs.
Awesome.
And,
okay. It smells very good, Titch, by the way. Quite pungent, but in a good way. This sort of...
Pungent, but in a good way.
Well, pungent, you know, like, it seems strong, but in a sort of like a... It fits the mood of Titch, let's put it that way.
Back in the day, when I used
smelt
to work...
Smelt angry. Okay.
When I used to work at the Renaissance Festival Circuit and I smoked a pipe, I came across a particular tobacco which was referred to as the Dragon's Breath because it smelled horrible, but it tasted really good. And so it was like, that's what I imagined, except the other way around. This probably smells fantastic. And the second that, if any of you have ever seen Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo, the scene where he's at the bar with Norm Macdonald with the martini glass and he like swills the entire contents of this martini glass and then Norm Macdonald tells him how much that's going to be and it just rewinds back into the glass and he puts it back down. And he's like, actually, I'll pass on it. Anyway, same sort of thing. I imagine that he probably smells it and it smells like it tastes pretty good. He takes a sip and once it hits his tongue, he's like, and just sort of lets it slide out of his mouth back into the cup and sets it down and makes a show of having swallowed what he, you know, sipped.
Roll for, what is it?
Deception?
No, not deception. I think this might be a con save, actually.
Does it not taste good?
Well, this is what I was about to say. I mean, it does taste good.
16.
It's the aroma too. So what happens is, Titch, you this smoke sort of, you know, kind of fills, and you were reminded of a moment of sitting at your post. Basically in between guard shifts, when it is, the setting sun is over the horizon, let's call this in a, how about May, on a typical May evening.
I was going to say evening.
Where,
okay, yeah, May
on a typical May evening where several of your companions, other guards are smoking pipes and are chatting with each other. The visibility is excellent. No one's going to sneak up on you unawares, you know, all this type of stuff. And you were reminded of the stories that get told around a fire like that, the camaraderie with some of the guards, the sense that you are doing something you care deeply about doing, and that at least for the moment, you need not be afraid that you're not doing it right, that you are doing it in the right way. These are some of the sort of emotions, I would say, that are sort of captured. And of course, you don't know, I'm not in any way saying you're mind controlled. I'm just saying that this is the kind of thing that runs through your mind. It is a quite delectable, I think would be the word that I would use for tea. And in case anyone is curious in chat, yeah, you damn well sure can have tea. I've had some that is like this, that has this kind of very positive effect. Just wanted to throw that out there.
The very first time I ever tried Russian caravan tea with just the tiniest bit of cream, that's what that would be for me.
Yep.
It's smoky, sweet. It's very, you know, hearth and home kind of.
Yeah,
vibe.
yeah, exactly.
Instantly relaxes you.
Instantly.
I love it.
So there's a little bit of that, basically, that you get. So I'm, so as you, so you
yes,
let it go slip
out. Yes, he does swallow
out.
It then, okay. In that case. Yeah.
While he's sipping his tea, Coriander looks super concerned and like a very, very wide-eyed, says, "Well, what kind of trouble have you been in? I just don't understand. You didn't do anything wrong at all. And even if there, I mean, what, who's making trouble for you, ultimately?"
That is not the nature of rumor. Rumor doesn't have to be true. It's rumor. That's the way it works. But the rumors abounding are that men of Bree were responsible, at least in part, for the theft at the Matham House.
Ah, absolute slander and libel.
I know that. I
both of them at the same time.
Involved.
That's terrible. I'm appalled, and I have already referred to your commander and your spectacular work in this, and I will
doing
provide
what?
More. Well, look, it's like this, Titch. You see, there are rumors, and there are counter rumors. When I came back from the Shire, you know, it was rumored I was dead. And in fact, I've still never gotten back all of my spoons and forks. I'm still working on that. I have been able to provide counter rumors that the Sackville Baggins is perhaps
slowly turning to look towards Granny.
That perhaps, you know, that Sackville Baggins is not always honest and forthright. Now, it's meant that they haven't spoken to me for some time, but since I don't like them anyway, that's worked out quite well. I am able to provide counter rumors. I have no doubt that this rumor will blow over, especially now that you've arrived just at the right time. Because, Titch, there's something very serious that a guard is needed for. That's right, a guard. You are a guard, yes?
You want me to go get one of the bounders? I can go get you one of the
bounders. No, I don't want a bounder. I want the hero of Bree. That's you.
No.
I like that you're doing this with the teacup halfway to your mouth. You know.